okay, is that if you start mixing everything that a child comes from, okay, that child is no longer going to have a sense of identity. Okay, that
Oh, I am so many things, and I am definitely me.
Hang on. I mean, everybody let him finish his points. I let him finish his points, okay?
I want a buddy now.
Please do.
All right, okay.
I'd like to open up the circle, actually.
Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry. All right, the thing is, they lose their sense of identity, okay?
Okay.
This identity based on their race and based on what they've done, okay? When you have everybody coming from the same place of what they've done, who's special anymore?
Each individual, every single individual.
You have to look. You have to look at a slightly larger worldview than each individual.
This is a worldview.
Can I speak to that?
You
first of all, you brought up 2 points. One. First point is, if you have people of mixed race, then they no longer have an ethnic identity.
No, I'm talking in an eventual sense. I'm not talking about right now. Maybe you have two different races that you came from. Maybe that's what you're trying to base your point on.
About 3 or 4. Secondly, you're saying that once everybody's the same race, then that's what they've done. But, like, correct me if I'm wrong, what you do and how you act is a function of your life and your life alone and where you're coming from. The experiences that you have are fundamentally differences than the experience that I've had, that he's had, she's had, he's had, you know, on down the line. And so there's very strong sense, like, I'm sure you two, like, don't come from exactly the same place exactly all the time. I'm damn sure of that, and I don't know, like...
Can I clarify something real quick for you?
Please.
Okay, as far as race, I'm not talking Chinese, Cantonese, you know, there's bazillions of different subspecies of race. I mean, you got... subspecies, subdivision, I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay, so if you wanna do it that way, there's millions of races on Earth. I mean, you're a different race than anybody else. He is, okay? What I'm going off is the encyclopedia's definition. You got an encyclopedia at home?
But the encyclopedia was written by a white man.
Okay, let him
finish. Oh, come on.
What's your definition?
I am. I'm here.
Let him finish.
Let me finish, all right? Go look up race, okay, in your encyclopedia. You will find that races are divided into 7 different categories.
What are those?
Yeah, according to a white guy.
I can't name
them. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, can I address that?
Please do.
Like the encyclopedias... all I'm saying is, like, you gotta look where all of the information that we get comes from. You know, have you ever heard of the name Joe Hill?
No.
Did you know that he was a union organizer? He was a white guy. He got executed by the state. 1914. You know, do you know the name Sacco and Vanzetti? There were 2 Italian anarchist union organizers that got executed by the state. You know, there's all of these things that we never hear about. Like, I personally don't know shit about Hitler's life, except for, like, he was responsible for the death of almost an entire ethnic group of people.
Okay, wait, I got a question for you. How many Jews did Hitler kill?
Around 6 million.
6 million. Have you been to the Simon Wiesenthal Center?
No.
Do you know who Simon Wiesenthal is? Do you
I'm
know what the Simon Wiesenthal Center is?
Please
okay. It is the foremost leader, okay, on knowledge about Nazism, Hitler. They have a museum in LA. I have been there, okay? You can go in, you can take a 3-hour tour about the Holocaust. I did that.
Washington,
all right?
D.C. also.
Great, okay.
That's the Anti-Defamation League. Slight difference. Okay. It's called the Museum of Tolerance. All right?
Okay.
I've been there. In the Museum of Tolerance, they state that not more than 1.5 million Jews were killed by Hitler.
Who's running that museum?
Jews!
I bet
Simon Wiesenthal, he started it, he's still alive.
I would bet that not...
He was the foremost Nazi hunter. He went to Brazil and all the different countries surrounding Germany after the World War to look for Nazis and bring them to trial.
Well, still, that's 1.5 million people is a fucking lot of people, granted.
What?
Like, our government went and we bombed the shit out of Yugoslavia. And we killed thousands and thousands of people.
Uh-huh.
We didn't, but our government did, and the military.
Either.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is what I'm saying. And these are the people that write the history books. These are the people that write the encyclopedias. They're directly.
Wait, these are also
directly
the people that told you that 6 million Jews died in a concentration camp, or several of them. These are also the people.
Okay.
Okay, but
well,
but still,
I've never really heard that. I've been to Holocaust museums as well. I've heard the stories. I've heard stories from the mouths of Holocaust survivors.
So
a lot of my family was killed in the Holocaust, and the other ones fled to America, which is why my family was here in the first place. That's always the number I've heard. I'll actually research that. I'll get back to it. Maybe if I see on the street, we'll talk about it some more.
I applaud you.
I've never actually heard that before.
Okay, we never got to hear
that. Yeah, I have a question. My understanding of what you're saying is that all the black people should stay in, like, Africa, where all the black people are. and all the Asian people should stay in Asia where the Asian people are, right? And all the white people should stay where the white people are. Mm-hmm. Well, this land was stolen from the Native American people. Mm-hmm. So the Native American people should stay here.
And all the Europeans
should go back to Europe. So why aren't you in Europe?
Do you want me to go back to Europe?
Well, that's what you're saying that you think is right. That's your belief. You know?
That's a good point, you know that?
That's your belief is that all the white people should stay where the white people are. And white people are in Europe. That's where you came from.
Yeah.
And all the black people were from Africa. And all the Asian people were from Asia. And
guess how the black people
so
got
on and so
the
yeah.
the way.
They were stolen by the Europeans. So why aren't you in Europe? If this is what you so strongly believe.
I've got a job right now and I'm going back as soon as I get the chance.
Really? Where are you gonna
right on?
Do you have a country you prefer to go to?
I'm planning on Sweden.
Sweden's a cool country.
Sweden, Norway, somewhere up there.
Yeah, man, that's where I go.
Sweden's fighting
like
for Mumia. Did you know that?
It's all France.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to throw down is that all this racial stuff, tension and argument and push and pull.
Okay, what do you think I'm saying about?
So right down the street.
What I'm saying is that that's kind of an illusion. It's kind of an illusion that we need to be fighting. Because the real fight needs to be against the real oppressors.
What are the real? Tell me.
Because
no, what are the
people
real,
of color are not oppressing the white people.
Did I ever say they were?
And I'm even saying that you yourself are not oppressing me. Because you're not like trying to bash my head in, right? And I'll never want to bash your head in. So what I'm saying is that if we look around and find out who the real oppressors are, we're going to find out that it's the corporations. And we're going to find out that the reality is this is already not just a police state, not just a government state, but it's already a corporate state, meaning that the corporations are totally in charge and have complete control of all the food, all the clean water.
I think you misunderstood me again.
Oh, I'm not arguing with anything you said. I'm just throwing out something completely different.
Well, this might be a trip to you, but National Socialism, Nazis, it's not corporate.
I'm not saying that Nazis are good.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's what a lot of people go off on.
All these diverse communities together to agree commonly that we want to be separated. And in order for you to do that, that means you have to go and talk to every different race
you
and tell them.
Why don't I leave? I'll tell you why.
That's over.
Just hold on a second. This is what's going to happen. When I get married and I start having children, then I'll leave. But until then, I seek to educate other people. That's all.
Yeah, and in the process of educating other people and you telling them that they should live in a separate lives and with their own race, in that same sense, you are going and talking to them with a different race and defeating your whole purpose of what you believe in.
Oh, separation. I'm talking about sexual separation. I'm talking about intermarriage. I'm not talking about interacting. Like in the world.
So you're saying that we should all have white and black families, everyone keeps their own ethnicity all together in the same thing in different houses.
So they can have ethnic pride.
And that's not going to happen, because you know what happens when an African family's next door to a white family?
They have the right to. I'm just trying to educate people.
But listen, when you have an African family next to a white family, you both have kids. That's what you want to do. You want to have kids, they're going to be white. And if there's an African family next to you, which you would supposedly be happy with, your kids could fall in love. Like if you're saying, oh, I want them to be friends, I just want to stay separated. Okay, they can go play and have fun, but you know what, brother? They're going to fall in love, and they are going to go, and they're going to live the rest of their lives with that kind of respect for the other race and fall in love. And that's what's happened already.
Love is not a feeling, it is a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment.
Do you know that by having white people breed with white people, with having black people only breed with black people, like the same group, that the fertility of men has dropped significantly in the past decade because racial mixing is not happening?
Hey, if you could write me some statistics, you know, I will go and look at the Bureau of Statistics. I do that for fun. All right, if you could write something down, I could go look up. I'd love that. I took some of your guys' literature. I'm reading it. I'm checking it out. I'm looking for footnotes. I don't see footnotes and other notes. I don't see things that are telling me to look at other places. I see something you guys printed, and I'd like to see the books, you know? If you guys, I mean, anything would be greatly appreciated.
Aaron, how do you feel about homeless people?
Homeless people? I have no problem with them.
as long as they're not having sex with other races.
What? Well, I don't have a violent problem with those people, too. I think it's wrong.
My name is Robert. What's your name?
I'm Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
How's it going?
All right. And unfortunately, this is where we have to leave because we are running out of time. That Aaron you just heard is Aaron Birch, convicted of assaulting homeless man Joe Barker, and there were also several others in the room who claimed they were assaulted by him and his colleagues. And we talk about that extensively. I'd like to apologize for not having organized it well enough to have it on the air. We kind of tend to run over with our other selections. But on Thursday from 6 to 8, we will return. That is, say, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides will return. And we will, we'll give you that interview in full. And he may even call in himself. I've asked Aaron to call into the radio show, and he'll be available. He can't be available for questions until we have him in the studio, and I'm afraid we may have to. We have numerous people who are squeamish about that. They're afraid that it would be deleterious to Free Radio to have a self-declared white separatist in the station, particularly one who's been convicted of assault on homeless people. So that would have to be worked out with the collective or some other method worked out for an actual dialogue. But frankly, I think it was very productive in a certain sense to have people actually facing each other and talking about issues back and forth. I myself, it was very thought-provoking for me, not so much because the arguments were that meaningful or persuasive on the side of the white separatists who spoke, but because it's much preferable to stereotypes and massing at a distance, sort of a kind of, I think, futile hostility between out-groups, and the Nazis are out-groups, and the folks who are fighting for basic rights on the left are also out-groups. But the real enemy is, as has been said in this discussion, the governments and the corporations who are they were the powerful control agencies that both of us, all of us, suffer under, right and left, whether it's people being shot down at Waco, or where the Branch Davidians got burned to death, or the MOVE people getting burned to death. We have to turn our attention to the real institutionalized criminals. And I think that's why this kind of discussion is productive. I'm not suggesting people want to necessarily form, you know, binding alliances, and that the differences may be too great. Anyway, what's coming up next? In the next few days, there's going to be, of course, a Homeless Issues Task Force meeting tomorrow night, 5:30. Which Marilyn Weaver, you heard her speaking, she'll be on the task force, she'll be there. There's an oral communications period, 5:30 in the ABC room of the Municipal Auditorium. At 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, there's going to be both the City Council Affordable Housing meeting at City Hall, and Earth First, a block away, will have its meeting at the Rhizome. Chris Brozda, sometime homeless activist, sometime harasser of homeless activists, depending on his medications of the moment and other temperamental things, but Chris is also a very articulate writer. We'll be going to court on sleeping tickets, Department 2, 10 a.m. He's been barred from the mall for the last year. If you're interested in that, that's Wednesday, October 20th, 7 p.m. The Legal Committee of the Homeless Issues Task Force will be meeting in Loudoun Nelson Center on Wednesday, the 20th. You'll be getting more information on all this if you call 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and we will put you in touch with that. Just dial on in. We'll give you all the dope on that one. Coming up in 2 minutes, the little red hen is going to be pecking at you. And she's got some stuff that, I don't know what she's got, but she's got something. She's sorting through it right now, getting it ready. I want to make an announcement. David Silva, who's leaving town for a week because his grandmother has died, wants me to remind you that this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Vets Hall in Room 3, there's going to be a hate-free zone organizing meeting. They're kind of getting their petitions together and uniting on that issue, getting that stuff going. So you might want to put that on your calendar as well. We're also Huff is trying to organize protest downtown during the Christmas season, and give a call to 423-HUFF if you're interested, or keep an eye out for the homeless table across from the Cinema 9, which is where we're going to be, if we can get enough people interested. We're rounding up more people for this crucial period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where if we keep a high profile downtown, I think it may change a few minds. in terms of merchants realizing that it's going to eat into their Christmas shopping money. Thank you for being with us. We're going to forego the usual Bathrobe Spears Broadsides exit tune and give an extra 30 seconds to the Little Red Hen. No, go ahead. Why don't you proceed? And please, tune in next Thursday at 6 o'clock.